This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Yesterday, just about 24 hours ago, we were on the air and we got word that there was a possible bridge collapse in Baltimore. And it turns out that was indeed the case. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed. We brought you as much coverage as we could live. And I think to me, it's another reminder why live radio is so important, but now we're starting to learn more of the details. They are saying they do believe it was a mechanical failure of some sort. The ship, the Dolly, a Singapore ship, did signal a mayday prior to the collision, and that allowed most of the people to be evacuated off the bridge. Unfortunately, six construction workers were on the bridge and are now presumed dead. And that's awfully sad. They have not recovered the bodies of those six missing construction workers. Authorities are going to resume searching for them later today. These workers fell into the river after the cargo vessel struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Governor Wes Moore and representatives from the Coast Guard and the Maryland State Police said last night during a news conference that they would transition to a recovery operation to find the six men who have not been officially identified and are presumed to be dead after they fell into the river. Here was Senator Chris Van Hollen, who was at the press conference yesterday.
Engineers are on site right now determining both some of the structural issues, obviously some of the debris field, and we'll start to work that, but we'll work hand in hand with the NTSB before we take any further action in that area.
And we'll try and find some audio of what the governor and the mayor had to say as well. I have, so that's the latest, right? I have a few thoughts on this. One, and I've been reading a lot about this today. I mean, just the fact that it happened while we were on the air, it makes it, I don't know, in some ways it makes it feel so much more real than it, because I almost feel like we watched it happen as it happened, which is not literally true, but it's almost literally true. It just becomes, it just, I don't know, strikes much more of a chord with me than something that you're reading about the next day. Oh, yesterday this happened or that happened. There's something different about watching something happen in real time. So I read everything that I could on this yesterday and today, and I'm really wondering, one thing is, could these piers have been better protected? I think it was the Baltimore Sun that did an article asking that question of engineers, and I think the answer to that is yes. And again, it's easy to Monday morning quarterback every one of these disasters, but a lot of bridge designers and engineers are raising questions now about structural safety in the wake of what happened. This cargo container struck one of the bridge's support columns, plunging most of the bridge and members of a road crew into the river. Many similar bridges around the country, probably around the world, are protected by barriers designed to prevent or reduce the impact when a vessel collides with a pier. Ian Firth, a British structural engineer and bridge designer, emailed the Baltimore Sun about these barriers, especially those crossing busy shopping channels where large vessels like this one come and go frequently. Now, once bridges go up, unless something goes wrong, let's be honest, most of the time you don't think about them. But I have to think, over the last almost 50 years that this bridge was up, somebody raised this issue of maybe there should be a barrier. And I'm mentioning this not only because they're going to rebuild this bridge, which I think is a good thing, but because I wonder how many other bridges around the country and around the world are out there like this that have no barriers that could be just as vulnerable to a cargo vessel or some other type of vessel crashing into the bridge and causing it to collapse. There are all sorts of different types of installations. There are cable systems. There are pontoons. There are submerged islands. But among the most widely used, I just learned this, is something called dolphins. Circular sheet pile cells filled with material like sand or concrete that essentially serve as bumpers. And engineers deployed these structures in the aftermath of a similar tragedy more than 40 years ago. The Sunshine Skyway was a two-span bridge built in 1954 across Lower Tampa Bay. It collapsed in May of 1980 when a freighter collided with a support beam. The impact sent a 1,200-foot section of the road into the water, and a bus, by the way, and it killed 35 people. And so one of the things they implemented were these dolphins. Why doesn't every bridge in America have as a requirement some sort of better protection? So that's the first thing that struck me. 800-848-9222. And I confess, until Noam Layden joined me in the last hour of the program yesterday, I don't know that I fully understood what a busy shipping port the Port of Baltimore was. But this is one of the busiest in the world, actually. And this could have a tremendous impact on trade. You know, we were talking, I think it was Neil in Baltimore that called in, about the impact that this could have on traffic in the coming days. This is going to have a big impact on trade, because this bridge collapse closed down a critical port that imports more cars and light trucks than any other port. So it's bad enough that six people are likely dead, but this disruption could impact the global automotive industry. And they're saying, according to Bloomberg, that this may have a domino effect. Car imports are likely going to be diverted to other East Coast ports, which may have to reroute ships to West Coast ports. There could be delays or freight cost increases, and that could further hurt companies that are reeling from all sorts of other shipping problems, and not to mention a drought in the Panama Canal. So for the time being, the experts are saying that when it comes to trade, this is going to be a bit chaotic and very costly. Now, as far as the good news, I mentioned this a second ago. President Biden said yesterday that they're going to rebuild the bridge. He made a promise that the federal government is going to pay to rebuild the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And I think that's a good thing. And this Port of Baltimore handled a record 52.3 million tons of international cargo last year. That's worth about $80.8 billion. And it's closer to the Midwest than any other East Coast port. And it's within an overnight drive of one third of the country's population. So you might remember back in 2007, then President Bush signed a law for $250 million to rebuild Interstate 35W bridge over the Mississippi just 5 days after that bridge collapsed. And it took about a year to reopen this bridge. Reopening a bridge as long as this one in Baltimore, they say, could take multiple years. But Biden said yesterday, I'm directing my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and build the bridge as soon as humanly possible. He also made another comment yesterday, which I thought was odd on the one hand, but not at all surprising on the other. This is what he said.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times, commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car. Been in Baltimore Harbor many times.
Now, I'm sure he has been over this bridge many times, but, and I don't want to pick on him like everybody does for just misspeaking, but there are no tracks on this bridge. So for the president to say that he commuted over this bridge by train many times, it's not true. I mean, again, I don't want to pick on him too much for misspeaking. And as far as gaffes go, this is far from the worst thing he said, not even recently. There are no rail lines on the bridge. Sometimes you just get going and, you know, I've done this where you just get in a rhythm where you're thinking one thing and your words don't necessarily catch up with where your brain is. So he said by train or by car. Let's assume he just meant by car. But I mean, you would think with the whole world watching your comments on this, that you would be extra careful with what you're saying. I'm not going to truck it up to much more than a mistake for the time being. Here was Maryland Governor Wes Moore talking about this.
We are still investigating what happened, but we are quickly gathering details. The preliminary investigation points to an accident. We haven't seen any credible evidence of a terrorist attack. Our administration is working closely with leaders from all levels of government and society to respond to this crisis, and not but just by addressing the immediate aftermath, but also by building a state that is more resilient and a state that's more safe.
Some people are not accepting that. There have been a number of conservative media outlets that have blamed the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge on President Biden's infrastructure plan, the wide open border, and even some people, the COVID lockdowns. I accept what Governor Wes Moore said there, that it was an accident, likely due to mechanical failure. And that's what I think happened. I want to be very clear. I am accepting the official version of events. That being said, people have been emailing me and texting me all day saying they don't believe it, that they think something else happened here. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is give you an opportunity to vent. You could say whatever you want, but if you have an alternative view of the official story, I want to invite you to share it with me and the audience. And explain why you don't believe the official story. For instance, someone sent me a Facebook post from someone named Matt Landman. I'm not sure who Matt Landman is. I don't know if he's somebody that I'm supposed to know or not. But he posted pictures of the bridge both before it was up and after it collapsed and said, for those that do not know, the Francis Scott Key Bridge was a major East Coast U.S. artery. I am beginning to think this was no accident. And then people commented. This got 3,300 comments on Facebook and 1,300 shares. So, 13,000 shares. So I'm assuming this is somebody that I should know. I just don't. Robin Temple writes, no accident. Sandra Marie, no accident. Hernandez, this was probably pre-planned for what happened in Russia. Melina Anderson, you and me both, get out of the cities ASAP. There are no accidents, at least not on this scale, Peter. Kat, in agreement. I'm looking at person after person that commented on this. They all agree that this was no accident. None of them are presenting any evidence. None are saying why. So I take pride in this show being very much a judgment-free zone and a safe space when it comes to opinion. So what I'd love is to hear your opinion. What do you think happened here if it deviates from the official party line, and why? If you have some evidence, or even if it's not evidence, a set of circumstances that fits your hypothesis, I'd love to hear you. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Vincent in Brooklyn. Hello, Vincent.
Good morning, Frank.
Morning.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Frank, I have my boating certification. I have my advanced boat piloting certification. I could use a sextant. I know how to calculate tides and all of that. The boat didn't have its nav lights on, so that did tell me either they deliberately turned off the power or there was a power failure. That bridge, the stanchions on the bridge, look like an erector set from the 1950s. That would never happen, not even on the Marine Parkway Bridge, because the stanchions are made out of stone, and around the stanchions, they have these massive wooden beams, acting like a bump is all around the stanchions. And look at this. The Brooklyn Bridge, it never happened once that a ship hit any of the stanchions because, and even if it would have, the stanchions on the Brooklyn Bridge on either side, the Manhattan side or the Brooklyn side, are made out of stone. It would have, sure, may have dinged the stanchion, but the boat would have stopped dead in its tracks.
So, Vincent, your view is that the engineers and bridge designers that are raising the question that this could have been better protected if they had barriers there, that they're right. It could have been better protected.
Yeah, they should have used, instead of using these erect, because I saw the stanchion that collapsed. It looked like an old erector set. It was all steel. You know what it looked like, Frank? When you go in the countryside and you see the steel towers that the high tension electrical lines are hanging on. That's what it looked like.
So, Vincent, not that you were responsible for putting this bridge up, at least not that I'm aware of, but why do you think, given that other bridges have these kind of barriers, why do you think they didn't implement them in the 70s when they were building this bridge?
Your guess is as good as mine. And why did John Roebling, 150 years ago with the Brooklyn Bridge, make it out of stone? Look at the Verrazano Bridge. Each side, the Staten Island side and the Brooklyn side, are on the land. And there's no way a boat ship could hit those bridges.
Yeah.
Why John Roebling built his stanchions out of stone, even the Marine Parkway Bridge, they're out of stone, and why didn't they use, they did it on the cheap, it looks like. Why not use stone?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, Vincent. Appreciate that. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Ron is in Michigan. What do you think, Ron?
Good morning, Frank. Frank, last week the State Department made a statement. They said Chinese are going to attack our infrastructure. Last week we tried to warn the Russians that they're going to attack. They did not follow the warning. I believe that ship was directed at that bridge. I believe the Chinese observed that bridge with the balloons and also their ground troops. And they said this is a vulnerable bridge. Almost all the coal passes through this area. All the cars pass through. We're going to knock the bridge out. We're going to make it look like an accident. And we're going to cause infrastructure in the United States to be shut down for like a year in business. And the Chinese government's Ministry of Defense said, we must be bold. We must attack the United States directly. And I say this is a direct attack, plain and simple. You know, you can call me crazy, but JFK, you know, all the other conspiracies, the Chinese are at war with us. And I think this is what happened. We're afraid to admit it. We're afraid to admit the Chinese could get into our country. And I'll tell you something else, Frank. All these train wrecks that have been happening, especially in remote areas that are in vital places, again, I contend that special forces of the Russians are probably working within our country because they look like us. If they're caught out there in the wilderness, oh, I'm a camper. You know, what does it take to sabotage a train in a vital area?
Yeah,
not much.
Let me ask you this, Ron. And obviously, there's no way of knowing if what you're saying is accurate or inaccurate. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If this was a Chinese attack or an attack from some hostile power, whether it's the Chinese or someone else, why would they do it in the middle of the night? Why wouldn't they do it at a time when the bridge was more heavily trafficked and presumably they could cause more damage?
Because they do not want publicity. They want to keep it low key. They don't want to necessarily kill Americans on that bridge. They're killing enough of us with fentanyl, but they want to destroy the infrastructure. They want to knock down because they know, hey, most of that steel and stuff going to come from? China, right? Do you think they're going to ship it real speedy to our country? Hell no.
Thank you, Ron. 800-848-9222. Al, what do you think?
Hey, Frank, you know what they say, that you can walk on water if you know where the rocks are, right?
Indeed, I've heard that one.
Guess what? With any tanker, my dad worked on 1,000-foot tankers many, many years ago. Here's the funny thing. You ever notice at an airport, what do all planes do before they even get close to the apron of the runway? They're taxiing at such a low speed. So if worse comes to worst, One clips into the other, no harm, no foul. School zones are 25 miles an hour because guess what? You have a shot if you get hit by that. Let me tell you something. New York to Singapore is about 10,000 miles away, one of the longest flights in the world, like 20 hours, okay? When you enter the Verrazano Narrows or any port, Baltimore, Long Beach, any one of them, you can, no matter how good of a navigator or a ship pilot you are, you have to hand it over to local people that know all the currents and all the tidal flows, the rocks, everything. It's called the American Pilots Association. Guess what? If you're doing a 10,000-mile trip to get out of Baltimore Harbor, it's a tiny fraction of it. It's going 9 miles an hour, way too high. When you have container ships that are 1,000-foot long, loaded with so many containers, you wouldn't believe it. So guess what? If he does 1 or 2 miles per hour, guess what? It may add another 5 minutes, and they should have had an auxiliary power already going on. Just going dead center, if he would have lost power, he ain't going to hit nothing and hurt it. All those bridges on the bottom have what's called bumpers, okay? 9 miles an hour, way too excessive. It's like having a 200 coal train, freight train coming. Cannot stop, no matter what. It's going to go. So that should have been done a lot slower. And in the future, that's what they should do. Listen, happy birthday, Rachel, and another great show. All right.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate that. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Howard in Detroit, listening on AM 910, the Superstation, WFDF. Hi, Howard.
Yes. I was listening to a competing station this morning, and an individual called the station. He said he had a contact in the Coast Guard. And that contact told him that there should have been tugboats on either side of the boat guiding the ship out of the harbor. In addition, you know, there's been some great comments on your two previous callers. And, you know, construction in the early 70s when this bridge was built was kind of similar to the construction standards of the Twin Towers. There was kind of flimsy, slapdash kind of economics involved in the construction, perhaps.
So you think this was done flimsily? The job was done flimsily?
Well, not only that, but there was neglect in how the ship was escorted out of the harbor. There must have been a shortage of tugboat personnel or a shortage of tugboats or something, some sort of neglect or, you know, due to personnel problems, perhaps.
All right. As I'm not clear on the first thing you said about the tugboats, what would the tugboats have been doing there? I'm not following.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, this happens on a Detroit River, but, you know, you don't have 1,000-foot freighters, you know, with, you know, we're not a container port like Baltimore or Newark is or Jacksonville.
All right. Thank you, Howard. Hey, Howard, by the way, I'm listening to you, and to me, you sound a lot like former Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Did anybody ever tell you that? I don't mean the things you're saying, but your voice.
Oh, well, no. Well, you know, we're regional in Midwest, you know, so we're not too much in common with Dennis Kucinich.
Okay, I'm going to be on hold, Howard. Let me hear a little bit. Doesn't matter what he's saying. Let me hear a little bit of Dennis Kucinich.
I want to thank each and every one of you for being here and express my appreciation to the City of Independence for making this fine facility available.
I think they sound alike.
This morning.
Howard, I mean, do you hear the similarity between your voices?
I missed my opportunity in politics. I should have ended when the money wasn't so expensive.
Howard, thank you. He's running again, by the way, this year. He's running as an independent, I think, for his old congressional seat. 800-848-9222. Steven in Manhattan. Hi.
Thanks so much, Howard.
All right. Thank you, Steven. Larry in Westchester. Hi.
Hi. There's an interesting maritime term that nobody ever heard about. The word is elision. When two moving ships hit each other, it's called a collision. When a ship hits a stationary object like a pier or anything else, it's called an elision. So two ships would collide. A ship and appear would allied. And I thought it was interesting that nobody ever heard of this word.
You're kidding. Elision. So this is really interesting. So this was actually an elision, not a collision.
Exactly. And this word I've looked up in the past, and it's very obscure. And nobody knows about this word exists.
Larry, you made my day. You made my day. You are very close to listener of the week territory now. I'm going to be using the word elision 900 times for next week. This is outstanding. Thank you, Larry. First of all, it's not outstanding that it happened, but it's outstanding that I now know the existence of this word elision. I love to learn a new word that's not difficult for me to remember. I love it. Elision. 800-848-9222. Frank is in California. What's on your mind, Frank?
Hey, regarding your comments regarding President Biden, you know, real petty stuff, Frank. First, you pick on his four-year-old granddaughter, and then you any little thing you said.
Wait a minute.
You should pick on Donald Trump. The guy is a rapist.
Frank, what did
He's
I say?
He's accused of raping a 13-year-old girl.
Frank, what did I
That's
say
the
about?
Guy you should pick on.
Frank, what did I say? Well, I did I say anything about President Biden's granddaughter? I don't think I did. I'm very, very careful not to attack children. I don't think I picked on his granddaughter at all. But the fact remains, there are no tracks on that bridge. 800-848-9222. Pamela is in New Jersey. Hi, Pamela.
Hey, just find it a little interesting that this takes in the most amount of car imports. And let's see, now we're going to have a lack of gas vehicles. Prices will go up, and this will help to get rid of gas vehicles. Just a notion.
So you think, it sounds like you suspect something else beyond the official story here, something a little more nefarious.
Well, let's just say I keep an open mind.
Sure.
Because we know that, you know, people have lied to us before, a ton of things. Remember, I lived through the Vietnam era. So,
thank you, Pamela. Yeah, Gulf of Tonkin. You remember that, what that would happen there. Geraldine is in Queens. Hi, Geraldine.
Hi, Frank. I have three quick things to comment about. The ship was flying the flag of the Singapore. It was registered in Singapore, which means that that company, that country, is responsible for the payment of the damages done to the bridge. They flew a flag from Singapore. Second, they sent a mayday to the port, to the harbor master, that they were having problems, that they lost power. So they sent a mayday. Third, why is President Biden putting out our American taxpayer money to pay for the damage to the bridge? We did not damage the bridge. That ship did.
Yeah, so you know, that's a good point. You think that we should basically send the bill to Singapore?
Absolutely. The ship is registered in Singapore, and it flew the Singapore flag.
You know,
so they are responsible.
You know, that's a, Geraldine, I'm shocked that I didn't hear anybody else mention that yesterday, because it's so logical. Thank you. I mean, if not Singapore, maybe at least the company that that owns this ship. I have to think they have a pretty generous insurance policy now. Could they afford $250 million or whatever it costs to, you know, to rebuild this bridge? Probably not. But maybe some combination of Singapore and the bridge, I think, or and the company that that owned the ship. I think we need to learn a little bit more about what led to this mechanical failure in the first place. If it was something like a Boeing kind of a deal, where it was done because of a combination of negligence and rushing this ship into production, then I think there actually is a strong case to be made that not only should they pay for the reconstruction of this bridge, but they should compensate the families of these six construction workers that died here. And honestly, I don't know why I didn't hear anybody else mention that today. That's why we have the smartest and most creative audience in overnight radio. All right, we're going to go through your mail a little bit later, meaning the mail you send to me. If you have anything you'd like to get off your chest, a question you'd like to ask, anything at all, you can email me, frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. That's frank.morano@redappleaudionetworks.com. We'll take some more of your calls as well, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is, I think my wife is actually a fan of Mariah Carey, but today also happens to be Mariah Carey's birthday as well. I did not realize that my wife and Mariah Carey has shared the same birthday. Today is also the birthday of my Aunt Madeline, who I'm very close to. I am hoping to see on Friday. I'm going to be here to do the show on Friday, but then we're going out to my cousins in Pennsylvania, and I'm going to be with my Aunt Madeline. I don't know if she wants her age on the radio, but it is a milestone birthday for her this year. So happy birthday to both Mariah Carey and my Aunt Madeline, who is also my godmother. Hey, we're going to get back to the bridge situation in just a second. I just read this article that Lara Logan, the former CBS reporter and Fox News commentator, she was on Steve Bannon's show, The War Room, and she had a very elaborate conspiracy theory. We're going to try and get the audio of it and let you hear it. But she was able to tie a cyber attack directed against the United States and the bridge disaster to theories that the 2020 presidential election was rigged. See, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody to call in and say something like that, to tie this bridge collapse somehow to the Kennedy assassination or something. I think that would be a real hoot. Hey, speaking of birthdays, I was invited to my second cousin, once removed, Vanessa's third birthday. So my cousin Amanda, whose mom, Liz, listens to the show all the time. So Liz is my first cousin once removed, which makes Amanda my second cousin. Her little girl is Vanessa, who's my, you know, first cousin, my second cousin once removed. And even though Vanessa and Carmine are third cousins, which I honestly, I don't know any of my third cousins that I'm aware of, even though Vanessa and Carmine are third cousins, which means they share a set, not of grandparents, not of great grandparents, but of great, great grandparents. They're around the same age. So, you know, I always like for them to be able to get together, and they seem to get along. So we're invited to this third birthday. We just got the invitation a day or two ago, but it is the same day as this ping pong tournament that I have scheduled and I'm hosting at my house. Now, I already sent out invitations to this ping pong tournament and made some other arrangements, but the same thing happened last year. They had the party on the same day as the ping pong tournament, right after I had sent out invitations for the ping pong tournament. So my wife looks at the invitation and she says, they're going to think we're making this up. that, but so I feel bad that this is the second year in a row that I'm missing this little girl's birthday because of this ping pong tournament, because I missed her first birthday as well. So this will be three consecutive birthdays in a row that I will have missed, which I feel terrible about. But next year, maybe we can do a little coordination on the date so that we don't schedule the ping pong tournament on the same date. But, you know, something, it's the spring ping pong tournament. That's what happens. All right. 800. So I apologize to Vanessa, her mom, Amanda, and to her grandmother, Liz, and to her great grandmother, who is my Aunt Camille. So I'll be reaching out individually to everybody to apologize. But, you know, what can you do? Everyone's excited for this ping pong tournament. I'm actually working on getting a truck there to have a blood drive there at the same time. Because one of the things that happens is this tournament goes on a while. So I'm working on getting a second table there so that the tournament doesn't go that long. But also to have something for people to do, like donate blood. I mean, there's refreshments and stuff, and we'll have refreshments again this year. So my wife says I always go a little overboard with the refreshments. So I promised her we would low-key it this year, but it's just as well have people give blood. All right. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Joe is in Ronkonkoma. Hey there, Joe.
Hey, Frank. How was your trip to Florida?
It was wonderful. It was great. Thank you. I'm happy to be back, though.
I was just calling in. First of all, wish your wife a very happy birthday. Today is my daughter's birthday. Oh. She turned 17th birthday, Adriana. And it's also my sister's birthday, Gina, that listens to you all the time. Her birthday also.
So that's funny that your daughter and her aunt have the same birthday, and my wife and my aunt have the same birthday, and it's all the same day as Mariah Carey. That's wild.
Well, you know what's funny, Frank? Before I go, they're all born on the 27th. My mom passed away on the 27th of December. And my son was born in April 27th. It's all 27s in my house.
Oh, that's wild, Joe. If you bought a lottery ticket, I'm wondering if you bought the number 27 at any point.
I should. Did you enjoy that Star Trek thing?
Yeah, I did. I'm going to be talking about it probably a little later. I had intended to talk about it yesterday, but this bridge collapse caused me to deviate a little bit. So I'm going to talk about that in a bit, or if not today, tomorrow. 800-848-9222. Frank is in Baltimore. Frank, what do we know about this bridge?
Well, it was bound to happen. And as far as that governor and that mayor and that Olszewski, that county executive, they were just down there for a show, and that's all they were there for the publicity. But I worked on that terminal for over 12 years, and I can tell you, that is strictly a daylight operation.
When you say it's a daylight operation, what do you mean exactly?
Daylight. There's no midnight or no, there's no 3 to 11 or 4 to 12 jobs down there. I worked down there in the afternoon for a good while, and let me tell you something. Them longshoremen, they got the world by the tail. They go to the union hall in the morning, and they sign in, and it's just like me coming in to work for you. Sign in and then go home. A lot of them have home improvement jobs and side jobs, cutting grass and things like that, and they get a day's pay just for going in there, because those say we need 40 men for a roll-off for cars or something like that, and that's the way they are. And it's was, and on a terminal there, they leave them trailer chassis all over the place. They got marking places for them, park them, and they leave them. I'm telling you, it's a circus down there. You never seen nothing like it.
No, that sounds awful, Frank. Thank you. All right, we'll go through your email and regular traditional mail correspondence straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
After the hour, it's not even close this week. The contest for Listener of the Week is an easy one. And going into yesterday, I thought we had somebody different picked out. But I really must commend the incredible job that Ray in Baltimore did on this show yesterday. If you didn't get to hear any of yesterday's show, he called in, gave us an update, heard the sound of the bridge collapse, then went and got onto his boat and called us with live updates from his boat. Now, I want to be clear. I have no idea if he made all that up. He could have been sitting in his bedroom the entire time, but I don't think so. If he did, though, it was very compelling and very believable. And then he stayed on for another hour after our show was over and stayed on with Noam Layden on WABC in New York, which was very nice of him. So he went above and beyond. So Ray in Baltimore is our Listener of the Week. Ray, if you email me at frank.moreno@redappleaudionetworks.com, we will have you pick the music for tomorrow. If you don't have email, call Matt Blaze back, and we'll do something nice for you. Maybe we'll buy you breakfast today or something. All right. Meantime, a lot of you have sent in communications through the written word. These include
letters. Oh, we get letters. Get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters, I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh boy!
Mailman, mail today.
Let me begin a package that I got, which somebody spent a lot of money to ship. It looks like they spent about $12 to ship this, and it includes a picture frame. And a nice picture frame and two small items as well. And it's got an envelope here. I have not read it. Let's see what this is. Dear Frank, I've been listening to AM radio for over 70 years. My stepfather, Barney Boyle, started with WOR in the early 20s as an engineer and retired in 1964 as the station manager and director of operations, both radio and TV. He was a graduate of Marconi Radio College in Belfast and was a captain in the IRA and fought in both the Irish Revolution and the Irish Civil War. Since Sinn Féin lost, he had to leave Ireland or be shot. Not only did AM radio put bread on our table, but it was also on the table and was almost always playing. I won't go into a litany of the famous people he knew and encountered, but he was friendly with most of the radio personalities of the day. He broadcast live during the World War II and knew many of the musical personalities of the time as well. Joe Franklin was one of his favorite people, and they were good friends. I can't say how much I enjoy your program, yeah, and your excellent programming. You are the best interviewer I have come across on radio. Only Lynn Samuels comes close. It gives me a smile each time one of your many interesting interviewees compliments you at the end of the interview, not the usual rare event in your case. I'm going to be 79 at the end of the month and find myself glancing down more often at the pin in the hand grenade we call life. This blessing is a thank you for your companionship over many years of discomfort after two minor surgeries. Parenthesis, no such thing. I share your enjoyment and wonderment in the privilege of having a happy and healthy son. I wrote the blessing for him about 25 years ago. The graphics are from the Book of Kells. I included two extra unframed copies should you want to share them with Carmine's grandparents. Hopefully it will hang in your home. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Frank. Barry. And then P.S., if you've not already done so, a segment on your show of successful and not so successful politicians who have changed political parties. Have any ever switched back? That's interesting. Yeah, I think we have done that, but that's a good one to review. So then the back of this framed one says, Carmine, whenever you read this blessing, remember that it has five parts. Hopefully you will, like your father, live up to the last three so that the first two will become a part of your life. And then it's this beautiful framed blessing that says, Irish blessing for a son. My son is half Irish, or actually, I guess, a quarter Irish. May you see a smile on every face you meet. With the shake of each hand, never find deceit. Be kind. keep a good mind and breathe a breath that's sweet. Thanksgiving Day, a son, Carmine William Morano. That is really beautiful. Thank you for this, Barry. I appreciate this very much. And I will, he included his email. I will absolutely send you an email. Thank you. No, very kind. Thank you. Meantime, some other people do not have the same high regard for the show. For instance, Maureen reaching out via Facebook. Maureen Finn saying, "Hey, Frank, if you're inviting Dominic on, at least let him talk and stop interrupting. And please stop with that screechy up sound in your voice. You sound like a cat who somebody stepped on its tail. Are you aware you're doing this?" No, I was not aware that I was doing this, but I especially appreciate the note on the interrupting. I will avoid interrupting going forward. I didn't realize I was doing that, so thank you, Maureen. Jay from New Jersey sends a text message on the TikTok ban. "Hey, Frank, I think your guest has changed my mind about the TikTok ban, and now I think it's politicians who don't like many people's views. Thanks, Jay from New Jersey." Igor writes, "Frank, Richard Wagner, German composer, 1813 to 1883, was never a Nazi. The Nazi regime did favor his music. Be well, Igor in New Jersey." I never said he was. I think it was Norman in Brooklyn that said who he was. And yes, of course, I realized that. Marilyn writes, "I was listening during this," meaning the bridge collapse, "and then my local station, KMOX, switched to something else pre-recorded and not of importance. I was not happy." Well, thanks, Marilyn. I mean, first of all, there are a lot of other stations streaming us that you can, if you want to just keep hearing what we're doing, just listen on one of the other stations streaming us. But you should tell KMOX that you want to hear all 4 hours of the show because you're missing good stuff. All right, Debbie sends a text message. "Frank, still listening. It's Debbie. And I'm commenting about you saying you don't recognize me. Well, all they're trying to do is let you know that they know you from another time. I don't know how else they would say it other than maybe they could let you know. That's all. Just recognition that they know you is that who knows who thing, I believe." Well, I appreciate that, Debbie. And I don't mind someone reminding me that I know them. What I mind is, what I feel like these people that I encountered last weekend were doing, is it's almost like they were trying to make me feel bad for not recognizing them immediately. And I don't think that's right. I don't think there's anything nice about making someone feel bad for something that they didn't do. Ellen writing about the situation, my solution to walk into anywhere, and as long as you're carrying a clipboard, no one's going to stop you. She writes, "Hi, Frank. I had to laugh yesterday when you were talking about clipboards. I had my husband listen, and we both got a good chuckle. When my husband was in basic training, he was assigned to Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina. You can imagine what the summers there were like. After basic training, the recruits had some coursework to finish. Anyone who had completed college had the option of finishing what should have been a 5-week course in an expedited fashion. That's what my husband did, and then he was assigned to supply school. After taking one look at the small, rundown, non-air-conditioned shack where that supply school was being held, he decided it wasn't for him. He knew he had made a mistake finishing his coursework so quickly, but then what was he to do? He had an idea. He decided not to report to supply school at all. Instead, he wandered around for 6 weeks with a clipboard. Not only did no one bother him, but some people actually saluted him. He held the clipboard as he went to the library, the bowling alley, the movies, the PX. He went all over Fort Jackson, wherever there was air conditioning. He just held that clipboard and no one ever bothered him and he was never caught. Clipboards do work." I'm so glad you sent me this, Ellen, because some people might have thought I was joking around yesterday when I said that or the day before. I was absolutely not. If you want to be treated with a level of respect and deference in any aspect of your life, whether it's by friends, strangers, even family, just carry around a clipboard. You will be amazed at the doors that open for you. Amazed. Bruce sends me the email request. "Hi, Frank. I'm not sure about asking this on radio. You know I'm having a cataract surgery and need a chaperone to leave. I was wondering if you have a suggestion. I believe in radio is a community of listeners since Radio Junkie my whole life. Freeform FM radio in Woodstock era. I'm 71. It's $125 for a VNS aid to walk me to a taxi. Happened to me after my last heart attack at NYU. They kicked me out. Unit closes at 9. Yeah, end of business. $125,000 for 7 hours billed to Medicare. It's insane. Thanks for listening. And Broccoli Rob, my New York favorite for a side dish. Lemon removes bitterness if she's not a fan. Thanks. Appreciate any suggestions. Willing to pay expenses, etc. Well, Bruce, I'm happy to put this out there. You did not mention where you live or where the surgery is. So I'm happy to put that out there. And if, honestly, if no one wants to chaperone you, I will chaperone you happily. I would do anything for a listener of this program within reason. A lot of other messages that I don't know that I'm going to have time to get to. Maybe I'll earmark some of these for later, maybe some for tomorrow, certainly for next week because we have some good ones here. But I always get a kick whenever we have an opportunity to read through your correspondence. I will continue with your calls as well at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And in the immortal words of the great Barry Farber, keep asking questions.